Hi, everyone. This is Special K, Kevin Latch for the Black Flag Cast, and today I'm talking with the one and only Mr. J. Michael Tatum. Michael, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm good. Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Always a pleasure, boss. Would you like to tell my audience a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, I'm J. Michael Tatum, as he said, and I am a voice actor, largely known for my work in anime dubs here in the States. Also, I work on the adaptive scriptwriting side of that business, as well as just voiceover in general. And I've been doing this for about a decade. And to date, I think I've lost track of how many shows I've been in, but it's over 200 as of now. So if you watch anime in English, chances are you've heard me. And that's what I do, basically. It's a great, weird, awesome little business, and I was very, very lucky to get into it, and even luckier to get some of the roles I've done. So that's me.
Right on. But of course, that was not always how you were involved in anime and such. You were originally a fanboy. Would you like to tell my audience maybe a little bit about the story of the journey from fanboy to voice actor?
All right. It's a kind of long and precipitate one, so bear with me. I watched anime as a very little kid. It was quite a few years ago now. And it was really some of the first anime that I think came over here to the States and gained popularity in English. In fact, we didn't even know that they were from Japan. They were just shows, animated shows that were on, usually when we were in front of the television and we'd watch them as kids because it was animated. So our parents were like, oh, cool, it's animated. It's safe to watch. These were the first shows I'd ever encountered that were animated, but had very mature content, not in the, pornographic sense, but like that dealt with themes like war and death and loyalty and, followed these hugely fascinating character arcs where how you felt for the main characters was very different by the end of the show. And of course I'm speaking of shows like Star Blazers and like Battle of the Planets and Robotech, which of course Macross, and all these other shows when they first came over and things like Voltron. So I love this stuff too. In fact, I don't think it's an overstatement to say that I credit anime, though again, I didn't know it was anime at the time. I credit it with helping me develop my sense of what good storytelling was. Because, mind you, as a child, everything I watched up until that point was stuff that was self-consciously made towards children. So it wasn't dramatically challenging or especially memorable, some of them. I mean, these were shows that were just kind of disposable media. I'm speaking of the things that were typically on television here in the 80s when I was a child. But then anime came along and completely introduced me to a new world of the form. And I think because of that, I came to have a very sophisticated expectations for what a show should be, whether it be animated or live action. So that was me as a kid. I was also very involved in drama. This is kind of another story, but they'll converge here in a moment. Just bear with me. As a kid, I had a very pronounced speech impediment. In fact, it was so profound that I rarely spoke. I had a speech pathologist for a number of years. And together we learned that if I had something to read from, such as a script or a piece of poetry or whatever, something that I could commit to memory and then recite, that my stammer tended to disappear or at least resolve itself for a time. So she, having ties to the stage, my speech therapist, urged me to seek out some community theater and just get on stage and read, see what would happen if I just kind of embraced the lines of a character that was given me. And so I did so and loved it so much that I did it for years and years and years as a young man. And I really say that drama and theater arts really, quite literally gave me a voice. But alas, it's a very difficult business to get into once you reach adulthood. And I didn't quite have the mettle for it, so I turned my back on it, regretfully. and pursued, you know, safer careers in pursuit of paying the bills. And then I just so happened, I mean, in years, this was my life for years until finally in my late 20s, I was approached by a very good friend of mine named Christopher Bevins, who was a comic book nerd that I was very fond of. He used to, many a night, he would crash on my couch with my cat on his face. And just after a brief, somewhat inebriated arguments about who would win in a fight, Iron Man or Batman, Iron Man. And
nonsense.
and so he worked and still works, in fact, for Funimation as a line producer and director and actor and writer himself. So I thought what he did was really cool, but I had absolutely no designs on him as an end to my dream job. I had long since given up any hope or of being an actor. And one day out of the blue, he just sort of called me and said, "Hey, I'm working on this show called Samurai 7. Which, of course, I was deeply familiar with the material it was based on. Akira Kurosawa's film Samurai 7 is one of my all-time favorites. And he said, "Hey, there's an anime based on it. It's really good. I've been chomping at the bit to direct the dub for quite a while now, and it's in front of me, and I'm needing some people on it, and I'd like to go with some people who aren't the usual suspects, and there's this one character I have in mind for you." And I was blown away by the offer, but I instantly refused because I was terrified. I thought I hadn't acted in almost a decade, and I never done any kind of voice acting, so I felt that it would just be a waste of his time to call me in when there were probably, you know, eminently more qualified people out there ready hand. And so I just said, you know, "Thank you, but no thank you," which was incredibly stupid of me. But luckily, Bevins isn't the kind of man to take no for an answer, so he called back the next day, and we proceeded to have much the same conversation, which was hysterical. I thought, didn't we just have this conversation yesterday? And so it went for 2 weeks of me, you know, politely refusing until he got scarier and scarier and scarier. And what began is, "Hey, I'd like you to come in and try this out," morphed into, "If you don't come in, I'm going to break your kneecaps." So,
motivation.
Right. So I went in, to quote unquote audition for this part, under protest, and spent 4 hours all of a Sunday going to basically Bevin's voice acting boot camp. I was in the booth working with an anime dub script for the first time, learning how to match flaps for the first time, you know, learning how to kind of hit the ground running with regards to character and intention and all that lovely stuff. And it was really hard, and I felt very confident that I sucked at it. And 4 hours of this go by, and when I emerged from the booth, Bevins had me sign a few papers, and I thought they were NDAs, of course, which was my first mistake. I didn't read them very closely. And I said something glib to the effect of, "How do you people get anything done if it takes you 4 hours to audition every single part?" And he just kind of smiled his Bevins smile and said, Well, actually, no, it just took us 5 minutes. You just, you just signed a contract, and we just recorded the first 6 episodes of the show. So be back here next Sunday at this time for us to do the next 6, because you're now an actor, whether you like it or not. And so that's how I got started. And slowly but surely, I started getting enough work with the good folks at Funimation, who happened to be just a hop, skip, and a jump from where I was living at the time. That I was able to quit my day job, which I hated anyway. That sounds terrible of me. I really actually liked the people I worked with, but I just wasn't very fulfilled by it. But I was able to put that career to bed and start, you know, what has turned out to be my dream career. And it's been 10 years. And since then, I've taken up the mantle of adaptive script writer as well as director. Kind of doing a little, wearing a lot of hats as you have to make this kind of gypsy life work. And, that in a rather large nutshell, granted, is how I went from fanboy to whatever I am now.
And that's more than acceptable. But during that time as being a fan, I mean, you spoke of the series that kind of got you into anime. What were those series? What were your favorite anime?
My favorite was Star Blazers growing up. I had just never encountered anything like it, and I thought it was amazing. You had this intense, epic, space opera of such scope, and there's so much drama, and it was just fascinating. I've never seen anything like it before, and it was just, wow, this is for me. I can watch this, because this is usually the kind of thing that, had it been live action, my parents would have politely insisted that I leave the room.
Yeah.
You know? And it was great, and it made such an impression on me. Then you had other shows, of course, that came along that resembled it in some way, at least to my 8-year-old self. So I was like, wow, Voltron is awesome. Silverhawks is awesome. You know, all these shows that came down the wire. And then, of course, Robotech. You know, in the course of my career, I've gotten to meet many of the actors that were involved on the dubs of those shows back in the day, the sort of classic golden age era of the anime dub. And it's been such an honor. I got to meet the lovely Amy Howard Wilson, who was Nova, in Star Blazers, who is also just a wonderful human being in her own right. She's just, I love her. She is one of the warmest, kindest human beings I've ever had the pleasure to meet. Of course, Rick Hunter from Robotech, Tony Oliver is now a great friend of mine, and I'm hugely honored by that.